PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. For this, the 10th of December, 2017. Very nice to have you with us for the next 55 minutes. Of course, coming up to the middle of December, with the holiday season literally just around the corner. And, of course, many people are getting ready and making travel plans and preparing for all kinds of things, including here in Taiwan. Now, of course, Christmas isn't as big a holiday as maybe you would find in other parts of the world. But, nevertheless, people still do celebrate it. I think people are just really celebrating it just so they can have an extra, you know, holiday. And take time off work. I think that's the real reason. But no, I mean, I'm just kidding. Because it is, people do also get it off. Because the 25th of December is a day, a national holiday in Taiwan's calendar. And I'll tell you a little bit about that in a moment. But first, let's begin with music right away. Because since I've been here at the office, I need to step out for a few minutes to pick up something that I left in the office. So here is Don McLean and Vincent, beginning today's edition of Happy Station from PCJ Radio International.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and the daffodils. Catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night, flaming flowers that brightly blaze, swirling clouds in violet haze, reflect in Vincent's eyes of china blue, colors changing hue. Morning fields of amber grain, weathered faces lined in pain, are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now, for they could not love you, but still your love was true. And when no hope was left in sight on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. Starry, starry night, portraits hung in empty halls, frameless heads on nameless walls, with eyes that watch the world and can't forget, like the strangers that you've met. The ragged men in ragged clothes, a silver thorn, a bloody rose, lie crushed and broken on the virgin snow. Now I think I know what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they're not listening still. Perhaps they never will.
Vincent by Don McLean, beginning today's edition of Happy Station for the 10th of December. Just a moment ago, I was telling you that the 25th of December, even though Christmas here is not officially a public holiday, people still do take time off work to celebrate it with family and friends. But the 25th of December is actually a day that those who are civil servants and central government workers actually have the day off. It's a very interesting holiday known as Constitutional. Yes, it's Constitution Day. And Constitution Day actually came into being on the 25th of December, 1947. And that is the anniversary of the Constitution of the Republic of China. Now, just so you realize what it is, the Republic of China is a is actually Taiwan's official name. We call it, of course, Taiwan, but the official name is Republic of China. So it's not really a big holiday because most people, I think, don't even realize that it is that, because more and more people actually go by the founding of the Republic of Holiday, Republic of China holiday, which is to commemorate the Wangchen uprising in 1911, of when in 1912 China, which was, well, there were different emperors, and of course China then became a republic in 1912. So that's our December 25th taken up in another way that really not many people pay much attention to. Actually, one thing I wanted to mention before we actually continue with the show, another thing that I wanted to mention is a lot of people have been sending in birthday greetings this past week, because Saturday, yesterday actually, was my birthday. So thank you very much. And a lot of friends either call me or send emails, which I'm quite bad at responding to. And, of course, through Facebook and social media, which is a little bit easier for me. But, you know, it's funny. I was discussing this past week with some friends who I've known for many years. When I say many years, 25, 30 years. And we all keep in touch through Facebook. It's just that it's easy and it's convenient. And we got into a discussion about Facebook itself. And I suppose there are other people out there who have probably thought about this and have had the same discussion before. Now, I have had people ask me, how many friends do you have on Facebook? And my answer is, usually I always say, well, it's under 40. And they're usually very surprised to actually hear me say under 40. And they go, well, how is it you don't know many people? And how is it you can only have under 40? I said, well, you asked how many friends I have on Facebook. And it is under 40. Now, what is, I've noticed actually has kind of happened is people are, I have heard people say, oh, I have like 900 or 1,000 friends on Facebook. And my response is usually, well, you don't. Now, there's a difference here between having friends, and people who you only know through the internet. Now, I don't call people you only know through the internet friends. These are, I wouldn't even go as far as saying acquaintances. I would prefer saying people you know-ish. No, maybe you know them a little bit, not too much, and you're really not, you never think about them except when they pop up on Facebook. So social media claims that, oh, everybody has all these friends. Well, no, they're not friends. I mean, there's people, honestly, look, if I look at my Facebook page and the kind of friends that I have there, I could, like I said, it's probably under 50 of people that I know very well. The other bunch, I have no idea whatsoever. So I find it funny, like there's somebody that here, I'm not going to mention the name of the individual, but they have something like 4,600. And I say to myself, well, they're not really friends. I really think that Facebook should come up with a new category. I really think they should come up with a new category. A category that is for actual friends, okay? Actual friends. And then another category with some name like people you don't know. It's a long title. Here we go. People you don't know who are acquaintances through somebody of somebody of somebody that you do know. I think that would be a better solution because they're not free friends. And I'm not saying that to annoy anybody. And you know, it's so funny sometimes when you hear of people that get upset when somebody unfriends them. Well, they're not friends. They're just people that who just got connected through you or through somebody else who just, you want to be a friend, fine. But they're not friends. We have to stop all this silly nonsense. I mean, unless you go down to the pub with them, you know, unless you go down to the pub, have a pint, see them on the weekend, something like that. Right, okay, right. Then you could consider them a friend. I mean, I consider some people that I know at the pub, who I only maybe see once every 2 weeks, more friends than people who I have discussions with on Facebook every now and again. Only because the ones I meet down at the pub are people that I meet, of course, well, once every 2 weeks, and we're actually doing it face-to-face and not through the internet. Now, the internet, of course, does have its purposes in that regard. But yeah, no, I think it is kind of silly. Social. Oh, I just dropped something there. See? Happening all the time. Social media. Yes, social media. Is it really social? I'd like your thoughts on it. Do let us know. I personally don't think it is. Even though I do use it a lot. But that's really only for really close people who I'm in touch with, you know. And I'll be honest with you, email, I'm really not that good at responding to. because everybody that I know very well, mostly everybody I know very well, is probably using social media, which is even more instant than email. And it's just, it's on my phone. It's just easier. It's just a little bit easier and stuff. Anyway, enough of that little rant about social media, which is not really social to some degree. We'll have some more music now, I suppose. Actually, the last week's show, we did play a lot more music than we had for a while. And I'm planning to do the same now because of our holiday programs that are coming up. So here is Spando Ballet and their big hit from many years ago, True.
Thank you.
Expando Ballet and True here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Had a very interesting experience this past week as I was driving to work. I was on a road called Changjiang Road, which is actually not far from where we are, and was coming to a stoplight, and I heard ping. That was the actual noise. Ping. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen the Monty Python film, The Meaning of Life, and there's the first scene in the film, which is called Birth, and this woman is giving birth, and there are all these people in the surgery who really have no right to be there, and all of a sudden the administrator of the hospital comes in and says, this is the most expensive machine in the hospital, costs well over £250,000, and it goes ping, or something to that effect. Anyway, that was the actual noise, and I just thought of that scene in the film when I heard that noise. And I was looking in my side mirror behind me just to check, and I see this gear, a 14-tooth, 17-millimeter gearbox gear for the front drivetrain, just kind of rolling down the road. Essentially what happened was that gear was a gear that I was planning to replace at some point before the end of the year. And I didn't think it would go this week. It just sort of did. But ping, and it was just rolling away. And of course that I couldn't go anywhere, so I was able to at least push it to the side of the road and get it repaired with a new gear in place. And what is extraordinary about this is that now this is one of my motorbikes that is quite old. It's not the oldest one I have. It's actually just over 20 years this year. Just over 20 years this year. And that component actually had never been replaced. Like I said, what is annoying is that I had scheduled to take it off the road this month, in a couple of days' time, put it up on blocks and have all this worked on. But it seems I had to kind of move it forward a bit. But yeah, it was an interesting thing. I don't know if that's ever happened to you where you're driving and all of a sudden pieces just start flying off the bike, you know. It sounds more dangerous than what it is, you know. But it was one of those things that I wish that I had a number of cameras set up, because it was just rather amusing. Coming to a stoplight, still had my hand on the throttle, and a loud ping, and then looking in the mirror and just seeing this gear just kind of rolling down the road. You know, yeah, I just wish I'd had cameras everywhere. It was rather fun. But anyway, we are doing a lot more music today on the program than we had for a while, so I'm going to keep this little annoying chat of mine very short, even though it doesn't seem like it's very short at all. Rosetta is the song, and here it is performed by Henry Allen and his orchestra.
Rosetta, in my heart there's no one but you. You told me that you love me, you'd never leave me for somebody new. You made my whole life a dream. I prayed that you'd make it come true. Wow, Rosetta, my Rosetta, I am the one dear for you. Carry on now.
Rosetta, Henry Allen, and his orchestra. Something connected with the automotive world that you might find rather amusing. As a lot of people have been talking about over the past couple of years about having autonomous vehicles. So basically driverless cars, trucks, buses. And it's something, of course, they have been working on for a while. And it is just completely a silly idea. Because somebody says, well, you know, a driverless car is good because if you're down at the pub, you can get home. You don't need a driverless car. It's called a taxi, right? Anyway, I don't know if I'd mentioned this already. If I had, well, there's video now of it. It's rather amusing. I'm not going to say which company it is, but if you do a search in Google for autonomous car fail, which is, I believe, the word, or driverless car fail, one of the two, you will find the video of a recent experiment that was done. And it was between a certain car company and a software developer. And they said that they developed software that is so secure, there is no chance of the software failing, that they have a number of redundancies in place so it wouldn't fail. Now, that may sound good, but this is where they made a slight error. They decided that they felt so confident in this system that they would give it, give the job to a couple of hackers to hack into this autonomous car to see if they can actually make changes to what the car was actually doing. Now, you shouldn't do a challenge like that unless you're really sure, but they thought they were really sure. Well, it is rather funny to see. I mean, what's the expression, having egg on your face? Well, this just wasn't egg. It was egg and a number of other things as well. So the test started. It took the hackers 10 minutes to hack into the software running the autonomous car, including all 10 redundancies. The whole procedure took about 20 minutes. Soon, the hackers were able to control the windows, control the speed of the car, make the car turn left, turn right, go reverse, come to a complete stop, go to super high speeds, make the windows go up and down, make the front bonnet go up and the back trunk go up. And it was going on and on and on. But anyway, rather amusing, I have to say. I mean, this is the problem with autonomous cars. If you think about it, look, if we can't today, in 2017, make our computer systems completely 100%, not 90, not 99, but 100% safe from hackers, how do they expect to do it with an autonomous car? Right? I mean, it is just the silliest idea. I think perhaps in some fields, I mean, they already have autonomous trains right now. They somewhat are autonomous. There still are humans behind it. We have a rail network here, what you call the SkyTrain. That's a rather large network. It goes rather far, and they're just expanding on it. And these are driverless trains. But at a control center, there still is somebody monitoring and controlling each individual one, even though the software is doing it. So it's somewhat autonomous. It's like airplanes, you know? They're also working on autonomous airplanes. Personally, I would not feel safe or secure in an aircraft where there was no pilot. Now, aircrafts today more or less do fly themselves in certain conditions. Autopilot, right? But pilots are still needed for a number of factors, for takeoff and landing. The pilots do all the calculations for fuel, how much luggage they have on board, so they know what speed to use and everything else. These are calculated the old-fashioned way. You know, autonomous, really. I mean, what's next? What other things can? What other things do you think we can talk about? Oh, here we go. Autonomous humans. Humans that just do it themselves. How about that idea, right? Humans that just do it themselves. But, you know, I think robots, of course, will be assisting humans. That's, of course, inevitable. But autonomous cars and trucks, really? Really? What about autonomous motorcycles? Oh, wait a second. You still need a human to balance it. They actually were discussing that, by the way. This one company that is actually working on an autonomous motorcycle. Have you heard anything so silly? Really? Oh, right. Yes. I mean, it's just... Sometimes when I see these news reports, I just go, what are people thinking? You know, if you don't like driving, then don't drive. That's the simple fact. I love driving. I really do. I mean, sometimes I will just either take out the car or take out the motorcycle and just drive just for fun because I actually enjoy it, you know? But that would mean, you see, there's an interesting theory to, if you're, okay, you have to be interested in something to be good at it, okay? Now, if somebody is not interested in food, would you invite them or would you ask them to cook, say, a Sunday lunch? Probably not, especially if they're not interested in food. If somebody is not interested in painting, and I don't mean painting like on a canvas, but I mean like home renovation work, right? If somebody's not interested in home renovation work and painting and that kind of thing, they're just not going to be good at it. I mean, that's... I kind of feel that there's actually some truth in that, because to be good at something, you have to have an interest in something to actually be good at it. If you have no interest in it at all, you're not going to be good at it. Could you imagine doctors? Well, I'm not interested in medicine, but I want to become a doctor anyway. No, you would never go see a doctor like that. So you do have to be good at something and have an interest in it. You know, because really, think about it, right? If you're not interested in cars and you're not interested in motorcycles, you're not going to be good at it. If you're not interested in aviation, would you become a pilot? Probably not. Would you be a good pilot? Probably not. So, I think we should pass new laws. Yeah, new laws that state, well, you have to be interested in cars to get a license. If you're not interested in cars, too bad, take a bicycle. You know, speaking of bicycles, now I love cycling. I cycle a lot. But I have to admit, sometimes cyclists do drive me bonkers, especially the ones that don't follow the rules of the road, you know. Yes. Anyway, let's go to music now. I'm just talking now because I don't know why. One of those days, just a nice day, actually. Very nice day. A little rainy. Doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. Anyway, here is from Australia. I'm sure our Australian listeners will recognize this group. They're called Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan with one of their hits called Hey, St. Peter.
The morning was cold and lonely. City lights, old and gray. The sun arose and tried to smile. Gave it all away. The honky tonk called the stranger. The stranger couldn't pay the bill. Made a stand, raised his hand, sang a song. Yesterday, wasted time.
song, now he's back.
Flash in the Pan, Hey St. Peter, and I don't know how or where this disc came from, but as it was playing, I had the engineer hold up the back so I can see what the other tracks were on the double disc, and it's a property of ABC Radio and Radio Australia. I have no idea where I got this from. I have no idea. Unless when I went to Radio Australia, I went, ooh, that's nice, and I'll take it. But I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if it was somebody at Radio Australia that sent it to me because they thought I might find it interesting. I have no idea. Anyway, we'll play something else on it today before we end off. A couple of weeks ago, I managed to find a summer home. Something, of course, that I've been looking at for a while. I did have one, actually, it's in the same area, that was built by the Japanese in Taiwan in the 1920s, which I sold after the renovation work. And it was just really an investment. And I saw another nice one, more recent, 35, 40 years old. Yes, more recent. That has been vacant for 15 years. Yes, it's a really nice place that has been vacant for 15 years. It's just, well, it needs work. Let's put it that way. But not as much as I thought. So when I went to see it, it's in a place called New Flower City. You've heard me talk about this area before. New Flower City was one of the first ever major development projects in Taiwan about 40 years ago, or probably even a little bit older than that. It's outside Taipei. It's about 22 kilometers outside Taipei. It's in the mountains. And it's the way they developed it is actually interesting. It's not, it's in the mountains, but it's on the side of one mountain. So it has very steep roads and windy roads. And the view is of all of Taipei, including all the surrounding mountains. So it's a very, very beautiful spot. And New Flower City is one of my favorite places to go to in the summertime, because in the summer, the temperature in New Flower City is about 3 to 4 degrees different from the city itself. So it's a lot cooler. So anyway, this place came up, and it has a wonderful window that overlooks the entire city. Now, when the developer, or rather the real estate agent said, oh, there's one place that's come available. Do you want to go see it? And I said, sure. So I headed up there. We headed to the building, and he said, there's only one problem. And I said, what's that? He said, well, the lift isn't working. I said, well, okay, it's not that big of a problem. What floor is it on? 9th floor. So, yeah, the lift isn't working. The lift hasn't worked in 20 years. But that actually doesn't bother me so much. That really doesn't bother me, because I'm not going to be living there every day, only on weekends and perhaps a few days during the summer, or maybe even a couple of weeks. So if the lift isn't working, it doesn't really bother me so much. So I went, I took a look at it, and decided right there and then, yes, that I want it. So starting next month, I'm going to have some decorators come in, even though it's work that I could do myself. But this is where I say the elevator is a problem, because I don't want to carry the paint up. So I'm actually going to go with some decorators, and actually it doesn't need much work, because like I said, it's been vacant for 15 years. It just needs new paint, new electrics. The bathroom needs to get redone, and as well as the kitchen. But it's still very nice. So I'm looking forward to, hopefully, I think it should be ready by next summer. Hopefully being able to use it by next summer, which should be, I think, quite nice. Anyway, let's see if we can get in two more songs before we end off today's program. Rick Springfield, also from the same CD, which for some mysterious reason I got, which comes from Radio Australia, I don't know how I got it, with What Would the Children Think?
Inside she cries. She makes the children breakfast, gets them on their way. Watching them through the window, she prepares to face another day. Then her husband tells her that he won't be home till late. There's so much work, you'll have to stay behind. But she knows it isn't work that's on his mind. But still he'd never leave her. Cause what would the children think? Where would the children go? What would the children do if they knew the way it was? But they'll never learn, because what would the children think? Where would the children go? At the gate she kisses him and watches him walk, hoping this small charade will stop the neighbor's talk. She turns to hide a tear inside her gilded cage. She cries for the love she could not hold and lost to someone half her age. Then a bright and breaking heart tell her to run away. But she values what she's got a little more. Two kids, one 9 and one nearly 4, and she would never leave them. children think? Where would the children go? What would the children do? Children think, where would the children go?
Springfield, what would the children think? Anyway, we've come to the end of the program. If you want to get in touch with us, our email is very simple. It's pcjqsl at pcjmedia.com. We're going to end today with a song called Anita, performed by Costa Cordalis. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell wishing you well. Also, just to remind you, next week is the first of our two Christmas programs, so do tune in. So until next time, so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Ich fand sie irgendwo, allein in Mexiko,
Anita.
Anita.
Schwarz
war ihr Haar, die Augen wie zwei Sterne, so klar. Komm, steck auf den Pferd, sagte ich zu ihr, Anita.
Anita,
Fiesta ist heut, die Stadt ist nicht mehr weit, mach dich schnell bereit. Ich sehe dir an, da schlummert ein Vulkan, du wartest auf die Liebe. Ich will sie wecken und all das entdecken, was keiner bisher sah. Bis die Nacht beginnt, Anita,
Anita,
dann sind wir da und jeder soll es sehen, wie wir uns verstehen.
Musikanten herbei, spielt ein Lied für uns zwei.
Die Augen wie zwei Sterne, so klar. Ich brauche uns ein Nest, wo sich leben lässt, Anita.
Anita,
in Mexiko, denn nur bei dir allein will ich immer sein. Um uns herum, da saßen sie ganz stumm und machten große Augen. Mit ihren Sombreros, denn nun gehörst du mir.
Oh, 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 oh.
Heute ist die Nacht, nicht zum Schlafen da,
Anita,
Anita.
Denn so ein Fest gab es noch nirgendwo hier in Mexiko.
Yeah. Musikanten herbei, spielt ein Lied für uns zwei.
Die Augen wie zwei Sterne, so klar. Ich baue uns ein Nest, wo sich leben lässt.